hopefully will challenge us a little bit, but yet encourage us. And I got some props under here. I got to get ready. But anyway, you can turn while I'm doing this to Judges chapter number 6. Judges chapter number 6. And what I want to do is I want to take a quick look at two familiar stories tonight of two pretty famous people in the scriptures to bring out what I believe is a powerful biblical principle. The first one we find here in Judges chapter 6, and I'm not going to read down through the entire story for the sake of time and knowing what time it is, and I'm going to keep track of that and try to keep this as brief as I can and get the thought across, but this is the story of Gideon. And Gideon was a guy kind of, I guess he probably felt like he was a guy out of place in what he was doing. And he was the story behind it is he was fearful of what was going on. He was fearful of these Midianites, and he was threshing wheat and hiding himself. But the Lord came by and the Lord spoke to him. And it says here in verse number 11, it says, "There came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained to Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? Bring us up from Egypt, but now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Now, when we read through these few verses here in the beginning of this chapter, this man Gideon, I believe he was an example of either an unbeliever or a faithless, defeated child of God in where he was at in his life in this point in time. I mean, the way he presented himself or the way he spoke to the Lord, hey, if the Lord's with us, then why is this happening? Or why are these things transpiring? Why is it happening the way it is? But the Lord, it's interesting the words that the Lord used, and he was trying to get him to this place where he could teach him what he was trying to teach him. But there in verse 14, he said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel. He said, that's okay. You may not think you have anything, but you just trust me. You just go. He went on in verse 16 to say, the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee. Boy, that's some of the greatest words a child of God can know, is that the Lord will be with us. Amen. When we're going and when we're trying to do what the Lord wants us to do in our life. The verses, if we'd pick it up from 17 to verse 40, and then in chapter 7, verse 1 through 15, show us how hesitant Gideon was to believe that the Lord could do this thing in his life, that he could do this thing with his life, that he could use him the way that he was trying to prepare him to use him in this portion from the end to the end of the chapter. In the beginning of chapter 7, God shows him fire out of a rock, amen, and consumes the sacrifice that he puts out there. Hey, he shows him that he can work the miracle of the fleece and the dew. You remember, as he wrang out the dew out of the fleece, and then the fleece was dry the next time he talked to the Lord. I mean, he just kept throwing things out to God. Well, if you really want me to do it, then do this. Or if it's really gonna happen, then do this. And then God shows him how few would go forth with him to the battle. I mean, they started out there with 32,000 men, and he whittled it all the way down to 300 men. Yeah. He said, that's what we're going to use. You see, what the Lord was trying to show him is, I know you're weak. I know who you are, but you don't need a whole lot if you got me. Amen. If you've got me and you've got my strength and my might and my power, everything's going to be all right. So God chose him. But again, there's no need to fear for the Midianites would be fearful of him. That's what he tells them there in the beginning of chapter 7. And then finally, in verse number 15 of chapter 7, if you look over there, it says this, "And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned unto the host of Israel and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered unto your hand the host of Midian." Now what transpired was he went down into the Midian army with Phurah, his servant, because he was scared. God said, go on down there. I'll prove to you. I'll show you it's going to be okay. And somebody was telling a story, and the story that he was telling, he was fearful. Barley bread came tumbling down in through the host there and smote everybody, and somebody yelled out and said, man, this is none other but the sword of Gideon. I mean, I'm sure he thought, nobody even knows who I am. But God was trying to show him, some people are going to know who you are. People are going to know who you are. Not because of you, Gideon, but because of what I'm going to do with you and how I'm going to take your life and use it. So what I want to talk about for just a few moments tonight is the greatest power, I believe, under this pavilion tonight. You say, what is it? This is the title of the message, and then I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to run through some just quick thoughts. The potential of powerless people. The potential of powerless people. The truth is, none of us have the power to accomplish a thing in our life. But God. But God. Father, I pray that you'd bless these next few moments we spend together. I pray that you would challenge our heart through the simple thought this evening, Lord, that you've laid upon my heart. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see beyond ourselves. God, we're so focused on what we think our abilities are, or what we think we can and can't do. God, I beg you that you'd take us beyond that to see the potential that's available through you. Lord, please speak to hearts tonight. Challenge us as only you can, and we'll be careful to give you the glory for it. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. I really believe that if we could just get a glimpse of the potential under the pavilion tonight, it would blow our mind.
Sure.
The potential of just this crowd of people. You say, well, there's not very many of us here. It doesn't matter. God doesn't need a whole lot of people. Amen. He just needs people that are surrendered, that are yielded, that are trusting him and have faith in what he can do in and with and through them. God wants every one of us here tonight to reach our potential for him. But that has to begin with us realizing that we have greater potential for him. What do you mean? We've got to realize we have greater potential for him. We're so locked down, and we're so hindered by what we view of ourselves, who we think we are, what we can do. Remember the verses that were spoken by Paul to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21. He says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. But he said, you know, we can do so much more through the power that works in us. If most of us were honest tonight, we would have to say that we live much of the time or feel like Gideon most of the time in our lives. What? I don't have any ability. Brother Martin, you're up there preaching it. If you knew how little ability I have, it would blow your mind. Amen. Look at, you know, Brother Jenkins, and look at Brother Britt, and look at Brother Young, look at Brother Neese and all these people here. Man, I just don't have that ability. I could never do that. I can't do what you name the person is doing. There's no way that I could accomplish what they're doing. Or I wish I could, but I have these limitations in my life. I believe if God could speak to us from heaven tonight, I believe there's three words that he would shout out to us right now. You say, what's that? Stop making excuses. Stop making excuses for why we can't do more for God, why we can't see God do more in our life for Him. Our potential for God lies in the power of His might, not ours. When we focus on ourselves, we're sure to fail. But boy, if we keep our focus on the one who is omnipotent, we can see God do great and mighty things in and through our life. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. I'll read these verses to you. If you want to turn there, you can. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 26. It says this. You notice I got to start using glasses now, Cobb. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who by of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Amen. What do you mean? You say, you might say, well, you know, I'm just not strong. I'm just not smart. You might not be the strongest or the smartest person, but let me tell you something. Neither was Gideon. You might say that I'm just not the best speaker, and I don't have the ability to be able to speak to people, you know, the way that other people can. Well, Moses fit right in your category too. Amen. But this verse tells us here, we don't have to be, because of the fact that we're not to glory in our flesh, but in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. God, listen, God does not need your ability for you to reach your potential. Now think about that. God does not need your ability to reach your potential, just your availability. Because it isn't about you and it's not about me, but it's all about him and it's all about what he can do through the power of his might. Amen. Stop limiting your potential for God, to be used of God, for by focusing on our ability or our lack of ability that we look at. Well, I just can't do this. I just can't do that. Man, I think of people that are traveling around and still used of God around the country. One of the men that come to mind right away, preacher, is John Bishop. And Brother John doesn't travel in as much as he used to be, but here's a man that literally lost everything. He lost his recall of everything. He had spinal meningitis and forgot who he was, and he was a preacher. His wife had to work with him and teach him how to talk and how to eat and all. And you know what? Brother John, he didn't get his grammar back. You know, when he speaks broken and he speaks with words that a little kid would speak with. But God has used that man all over this country to encourage people. You know what the name of his ministry is? God's So Good Ministries. Man, if a man that doesn't even have all of his faculties there and had to be reprogrammed and everything is still be able to use by God that way, don't you think that God could use you in a greater way too? Don't you think that you got a little bit more potential than what you think you have? Amen. What about Fanny Crosby? Oh, Fanny Crosby, you know, when she was 6 weeks old or whatever, went blind. I mean, what kind of potential did she have? Oh, my goodness. Look at the life of Fanny Crosby. Look at what God was able to do with Fanny Crosby's life. I mean, here's a lady that wrote, at least we know of, about 9,000 hymns and wrote 2,000 poems and memorized over a quarter toward a half of the Old Testament and just used of God till she was 93 years of age. You know, we would look at that and say, well, she's blind. She doesn't have any potential to do anything for God. Wait a minute. Who you are, what you are, does not limit what God can do. If we just get our eyes on him. There's a blind evangelist that travels around preaching. Met him a long time ago. And when God called him to preach, he was fearful about it. Because he couldn't, he said, how am I going to get anywhere? How am I going to? But God worked all that out. His name's Kurt LeBeau. Yep. God's used him in great ways around this country. He traveled with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry for years and sang in prison revivals and everything. And man, he has to be led and helped by somebody to get to an airport, and people have to pick him up, and people have to, hey, but you know what? He didn't let his limitations keep him from fulfilling the potential that he had through the Lord and through the might of God working in his life. Again, stop limiting our potential. The other famous person that I wanted to mention to you tonight is simply Moses, probably the greatest leader in the Old Testament. Just look back for a moment. I'm not going to read a lot of it, but look back into Exodus chapter 3 real quick. Look back there. You talk about a man that had great potential, but did not realize the kind of potential that he had until God spoke to him out of a burning bush. Now listen, just think about this. In Exodus chapter 2, he tried to stand up. And he tried to stand up in his own might. And he slew an Egyptian. But God wasn't, I don't know that God was totally with that was going on right there. I think maybe he was doing that in his own might. And it took God taking him out to the wilderness. It took God taking him out there for 40 years and wandering out in the backside of the desert before God began to speak to him through a burning bush and told him that he wanted him to be the one that would go and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt and out of bondage and toward that promised land. Just look with me, if you would, at verse number 11 in chapter 3 there. It says, it came to pass in those days when, chapter 3, verse 11, let me see here. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee. See, Moses is looking at who am I? But God says, no, wait a minute. I'm the one that's going to be with you. Amen. It's going to be me with you helping you to do this. If we look on a little bit further there, Moses says, who am I? God says, I will be with thee. Look at verse 13 and verse 14. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, who is his name? What shall I say unto him? Here's all these excuses that he's throwing at the Lord. Moses says, who shall I say sent me? And then it says in verse 14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. You know what he's saying? Moses, don't you tell him it's all about you. Tell him it's all about me. Tell him it's all about what I'm trying to do and how I'm trying to help him. Amen. We look on a little bit further there in verse at chapter 4 and verse number 1. And notice what it says. And Moses answered and said, behold, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And God replies back. The Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And if you know what happens and takes place here, he takes the rod, the staff in his hand. He makes it into a serpent. You know what he's trying to tell him? You ain't even got a speak. You just do what I'm trying to get you to do, and I'm going to do something great and mighty. He turns it into a serpent, and he picks it back up again. And then the next thing after that, God turns around and does another thing there. He says, take your hand and put it in your breast there and pull it back out, and it was leprous. And he said, now stick it back in there again. He put it back in there again and pulled it out, and it was made whole again. What was he trying to do? He's trying to show him, man, you've got great potential if you'll just let me work through you. Amen. That's what he's trying to do. That's what he wants to do tonight in each and every one of us. We've got much greater potential for God than what we see happening. Amen. We're not here just to sit by idly until the Lord takes us home. Amen. We're supposed to be busy for the Lord. We're supposed to be accomplishing great things. Hey, been in the Kremlin. Hallelujah. Preach the gospel in the Kremlin. Hallelujah. That wasn't you that did that, brother. It's the mighty God of heaven that wants to work in each and every one of us tonight too. Yes. Amen. You know, we and Moses in verse number, look at verse number 10. Moses said unto the Lord, oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent neither. Heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. You think God didn't know that? The Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. And then Moses goes on again and says, what, who are you going to send with me? He says that Aaron, your brother, he can speak good. Just go. Amen. What was he trying to get him to do? Trying to get him to see that he had greater potential than what he was viewing with his own earthly eyes. Moses kept looking at his own ability rather than the potential that he had in the Lord. And I believe that that's where we sit so often. We look at ourselves and say, well, I can't do this and I can't do that. The potential that you and I have is through the power of the Holy Spirit of God that lives in us. That is the potential that we have to do great and mighty things. And with that, it's limitless. It's limitless what the Lord can do. Have you ever stopped to think that we have the Word of God in written form today because of people who allowed the Lord to work through them to reach their potential for Him? Amen. I mean, God had human authors that had to pen those words. To the Holy Spirit, through them, pen those words. Did you ever stop to think that 39 of the 66 books of the Bible were named after people who in part reached their potential for God? Think about it. Joshua, Ruth, Samuel, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Timothy, Titus, Philemon, James, Peter, John, Jude. All those books written, called out by names of people just like you and me that walk the face of this earth, but a mighty God working through their lives. And they reached some of their potential, and God wrote it down for us to help us through this life. Amen. No, they weren't perfect. Yeah, you go back and think about some of those names. Jonah.
Sure.
No, they weren't perfect, but neither are you and I. Right. Amen. Yeah. But they sought out to reach their potential for God. Hey, what about Abraham? What about Isaac? What about Jacob? What about Joseph? What about Moses and David? I mean, David doesn't have a book wrote about him, but you think about everything that God used David to do. Powerful. All of us have greater potential for God than what we're realizing right now. Every one of us. Stop looking at your ability and start trusting God for His and what He can do through your life. You have the potential for victory over sin. Stop saying, no, I just can't get victory over that. Don't say that. Because you know, when you say that, you're denying the Holy Spirit. Because the Lord tells us in 1 John 4:4, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. We have the ability, we have the potential to be able to get victory over the sin in our life and the sin that so easily besets us also. Amen. Hey, by the way, you have the potential to be a victor in soul winning. Man, I tell you, this is something that's going by the wayside in churches all over the country today. I mean, people are giving up on trying to go out and knock on doors and try to reach people. Man, that's the way it's been since the beginning, way back since the beginning. We're supposed to go confront people, try to reach people with the gospel. You say, well, I'm just not gifted to speak. You may not be, but the Holy Spirit that lives in you is. And if you'll just avail yourself, let yourself be available to God, God will use you to be able to be a soul winner. Amen. Hey, the Lord said when he left, when he went back to heaven in Acts chapter 1 in verse 8, he said, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. How many of you got the Holy Spirit living in you tonight? Then you got the power to be the witnesses that you need to be. Amen. We have the potential for that. Hey, if we're not doing it, it's not God's fault. It's our fault. Hey, we each and every one that sit here tonight have the potential to be victorious as a servant for the Lord. Amen. To serve Him the way that He wants us to fulfill His will for our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Think about what the Apostle Paul said here. I mean, if there was ever a man that realized and understood his weaknesses, it was the Apostle Paul. And God used him to pen more of the New Testament than any other person. And he says here in chapter 15 and verse number 9, for I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. What are you saying? He said, man, I don't want that grace of God to be in vain in my life. I want God to work through me. I want to labor as much as I can for the Lord. I know how weak I am. I know what I can't do, but I know what God can do. Amen. After his comments there, Paul, in his dissertation about his life in Philippians chapter 3, those verses 1 through 14, he concluded it in verse 13 and 14 and said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You see, for us to reach our potential for the Lord, we're going to have to continue to forget those things which are behind and continue to reach forth unto those things which are before. Don't look back and blame who you are today on what happened in the past. Amen. Because we have unlimited potential in the Lord. Remember that verses that I gave you there in Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Amen. Stop using the past as a crutch for our failure to reach our potential for Christ. Ruth could have. Rahab could have. Amen. Paul could have. But they didn't, thank God. What an example that they were. I'm closed with this little illustration that I have here. I've got two little cups here. And I'll bring them down here so maybe you can see what they are. What's in that one, Mother Benny?
Acorns.
Acorns. What's in that there?
That's corn.
Corn. I got a cup full of corn and a cup full of acorns. The truth of the matter is that's what we look at today, and that's what we see, and that's what we think about. Because we're looking at it through human eyes and through what we think of it in our humanity. But I'm going to tell you something. When God looks at that, he looks at a mighty oak forest. Because each one of those little acorns will grow up to be a great, mighty oak tree.
Yeah. Yeah.
When God looks at that cup of corn there, he looks at a flowing cornfield out on a meadow somewhere.
Yeah.
Why? Because each one of those little pieces of corn there will pop up. And when one of those corn is buried into the ground and it pops up, the truth of the matter is, I just looked this up. It said that a stalk of corn, that one little corn kernel, will bring up a stalk of corn. Amazing. And every stalk, depending on what kind of corn that you're planting, will have anywhere from 1 to 3 ears of corn on that stalk. That corn that comes up on that stalk, each one of those ears will yield 500 to 1,200 more kernels of corn. How in the world? Potential. Potential. What do you mean, Brother Martin? Hey, that remember that verse that the Lord used in John chapter 12 and verse number 24? Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. What do you mean? Man, if we just die to ourselves, that's what Gideon had to do. That's what the Apostle Paul had to do. I mean, that's what Moses had to do. What do you mean? We have to die to self every day. As we die to self, God can take our life and he can help us to reach the potential that he has for each and every one of us that sit here in this room here tonight. What are you trying to tell us, Brother Martin? I'm just trying to tell you, man, God wants to do so much more. We sit here, we think maybe a small group of people, but oh, if you could just see what God could do. Just picture that as our lives. Picture the cornfield that can come out of it. Picture that as our lives, and picture a mighty oak forest that could come forth. If we would just get to the place that we'd yield ourselves unto him. The potential of powerless people is unleashed and unlimited when we're living in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Because it's never about us, and it's always about him. Stop making excuses for why you're not reaching your potential for God. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I just ask you real quick tonight. Maybe you'd say tonight, Brother Martin, I needed that message tonight. I know I'm not near reaching the potential that I could for the Lord. I use my weaknesses. I use my abilities. I use the lack of my abilities so much. Brother Martin, would you pray with me that God would help me to be more yielded to Him, that He may be able to use me in a greater way for His service in the days that He's given me? And you just slip your hand up and say, pray for me, Brother Martin. I see those hands. Father, please bless your dear people tonight. Thank you for the privilege to be able to be here. Thank you for your word, and thank you for the challenges from your word. God, thank you for challenging us tonight about potential. Father, I pray that we would quit using so many excuses that we use. And God, we quit looking at ourselves like Gideon did, like Moses did, like the great men that were eventually used by you. We didn't even get into the hall of faith and all those people that struggled, but yet trusted and tried to go on and seek, and you used their life in such a great way. God, please use our lives in a greater way in the days to come, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.